You can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepard on a Friday on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I just want to stay in the sun where I'm having a fun day here today. A lot going on. You know, when Chris was doing his update at the top, the last story he did was Dell Demps got fired as GM of the Pelicans probably 61 minutes ago. Yeah. That would have been our lead story of the day. That's how this last hour has gone with all this stuff going on. Plus, we're keeping an eye on Tiger out there. Colin Kaepernick getting a settlement with NFL.
It actually was the first story on my typed up SportsCenter.
Right.
I have a typed up SportsCenter that I do at my desk, and then I have a Word document that I keep open on my computer screen.
Right.
Just in case anything new pops up during the show. Well,
it's been one of those days.
I don't go to the sheet very often today.
All right. So Colin Kaepernick, we got a couple of polls, the Twin Peaks Twitter polls out there. Nobody knows the amount. But the lawsuit was for collusion.
The speculation is getting more towards what you were originally, your original thought last hour, Craig.
Yeah.
And let me just, because my computer just froze, so hang on, give me 2 seconds.
Well,
but
again,
I saw one, you know, Florio said on Pro Football Talk, the over-under was set, speculating at $49.5 million. I just saw another report that says they think it's closer to $70 million.
And I think the thinking there is he hasn't played for the last 2 years. The going rate, the minimal going rate for starting quarterbacks in the league is $20 million. Plus, there'll be future earnings. So, yeah, the number I would think would go north. We put a few numbers up there on the Twitter.
So, is Colin Kaepernick's NFL career over now at 99.3 ESPN Radio? 160 votes thus far. 89% yes.
Yeah.
What do you think Cap's settlement from the NFL was? $20 million, $50 million, $80 million. 49% now say $50 million, 38% $20 million, 13% $80 million. And I think it's getting closer to $80 million.
And the reason we said is his career over. Certainly he probably still has the ability to play and play better than at least a third of the quarterbacks conservatively in the league. But the question is, all right, now the NFL has been made to pay him. All the owners have to chip in. Now is one of those owners going to say, all right, now come play for me? Probably not. So that's why we're asking.
Maybe
is his
not today,
over?
But I am not entirely convinced that his career is over yet. I'm not.
Of course, the AAF.
Too many bad third string. I mean, unless he. But again, if he's getting $70 million or somewhere between $50 and $80 million, he might be like, yeah.
I'll
go away and invest money, and I'm done.
I think that I say circus, the media circus, and I don't think it would last for an entire season, but I don't know if that week, 2 weeks, where you've got not just your normal media coverage, but all the national networks will be there, all the news networks will be there. Everybody's going to be covering your team.
Right.
Is that worth it to bring in a backup?
Well, I think the coverage would be,
because nobody's bringing him in as a starter from day one.
Well, the Patriots brought in a Tebow to kick the tires for a while. I mean, there was a lot of coverage.
Anybody around that team knew that was more benefit for Bill's respect for Tim to get his name out there and try to get him on another team. There was no way in hell.
But I think it showed the rest of the league that you can't bring Tim Tebow in as a backup because the media coverage from every other outlet that's not normally in your locker room, it's too much for just a backup quarterback.
All you have to do is look at the Jets that year. I mean, that's what it was. I mean, it was way, way over the top. They had to have separate press conferences for him. Every day was the Hard Knocks.
Because I always thought that Tim Tebow just needed to develop. Right. Urban Meyer did Tebow no services at University of Florida because he never told him to work on his throwing motion. I always thought that Tim Tebow, a year or two as a backup where he can just work on his mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of that really low.
Should have went to Canada.
I completely agree with that.
I think he would have been. I think he would be if he figured it out over there, and maybe he could have, I think he would have had a chance.
But from a team's perspective, bringing Tim Tebow in as a backup, it's not worth it because of all the hoopla that goes around it, the circus that follows him.
And Pro Football Talk just released another very interesting tweet, and this makes a whole lot of sense. NFL would have been wise to request an agreement that Kaepernick will not seek or accept employment with any NFL teams in the future. Kaepernick would have been wise to demand a lot more money in exchange for that term.
Yeah.
Depending on, again, we don't know, but we're expecting it to be somewhere between 50 and 80 mil.
Look, if he could get to 80 mil, and let's say he's collected almost 20 mil as a player already, but the last 2 years he hasn't had to get one concussion, he hasn't gotten a blowout his knee, hey, it's a good life.
And the NFLPA just released a statement that I just have. It says, today we're informed by the NFL the settlement of the Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid collusion cases. We are not privy to the details of the settlement, but support the decision by the players and their counsel. We continuously supported Colin and Eric from the start of their protests, participated with their lawyers throughout their legal proceedings, and were prepared to participate in the upcoming trial in pursuit of both truth and justice for what we believe the NFL and its clubs did to them. We are glad that Eric has earned a job and new contract, and we continue to hope that Colin gets his opportunity as well. But now I'm going to amend, as you did with Antonio Brown, I am going to say Colin Kaepernick will not play in the NFL again. After reading and really absorbing what Florio just did on Pro Football Talk, I will say that makes a lot of sense. Depending on if it's around $80 million, which I'm starting to really get into your corner there, Craig, that's why it's going to be $80 million, because he's never going to play again.
Was it the NFL's intention to settle all along? I mean, we're getting to the start of the trial. It's all been research and lawyers talking.
I don't think so in the beginning, but I think it escalated towards the end here.
All right, my other interesting question, at least to me anyway.
Everything you say to me.
Eric Reid is mentioned in this.
Mm-hmm.
What does Eric Reid get paid? Eric Reid played football last year and just got a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
What's the settlement for him? He's mentioned in this. He's part of the lawsuit.
I don't know. You're right. I don't know. Punitive damages? I don't know.
He didn't...
Is he going to get $80 million?
He got signed in the middle of the season last year from Carolina, right? He wasn't signed at the beginning of the year.
Correct.
Okay, so let's, week 5, week 6 is when he got signed, somewhere around
there.
Plus
his earnings would not have been as high as a quarterback.
His earnings weren't as high as a quarterback. He was still a San Francisco 49er up until the 2017 season. So I don't think he'll get the backlog payment that Colin Kaepernick.
He gets 4 weeks worth.
Or future payment.
Okay.
Because he is employed.
All right, so Colin Kaepernick may get $80 million. Eric Reid may get $1 million. Something like that.
Yeah, and maybe some other.
All right.
I don't know.
Man, that makes perfect sense. I should be a lawyer.
Yeah. All right, on TV.
Now, we're juggling lead stories here. Let's stay with football. Let's talk Antonio Brown for a moment.
Yes.
Nasty. I'm amending my statement from earlier.
I've amended mine. You've amended yours.
At the beginning of the show. Now, we're pulling a Scottie Pippen here.
Took all of an hour for you guys to backtrack on that, huh?
Totally. Well, okay. I got new information. A computer is only as good as the information you put in it. Computers are never wrong.
Scottie got new information with LeBron James. He saw him play a game the other night where he didn't want the ball at the end of the game.
All right. Let's forget about Scottie Pippen for a minute, because it really doesn't help my argument here. Now, we learned that Antonio Brown is supposed to meet with Art Rooney today, Rooney II, to kind of either clear the air, say goodbye, kumbaya, I don't know. I initially, my quick hot take, if you will, right off the top of my head was, they're going to, when a player and an owner get together face to face, like two grown men, they're going to work it out. They're going to work it out, and he's going to stay in Pittsburgh. However, I'm going to rescind that comment, because then I have seen that since Antonio Brown has used his Twitter as a weapon against Ben Roethlisberger, because I guess his backlash for being criticized for domestic abuse of his own, which he recently was in the news for, somebody else, he didn't write this, but somebody else wrote, hey, they'll criticize you for this, but they'll love Ben Roethlisberger and not mention the fact that he raped a couple of girls in college, and that was liked by Antonio Brown.
Yeah, the top of Brown's likes, again, a pair of tweets, as you said, posted by the account named @Kip_music, whoever that is, I'll find out.
Both Kip Music, of course.
Both tweets refer to the past allegations of the sexual assault against Roethlisberger, as you said. The tweet was, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, be like, get rid of Brown. He hits women. But be like, Big Ben is my hero. Wait, didn't he rape two college girls? One of the tweets says, and he liked them both.
He liked them. Oh.
That's all it takes. You don't have to say just like.
He can't be in the same locker room with Ben Roethlisberger, so he's definitely out.
Whatever was going to happen between him and Art Rooney II.
I don't know what the choice is. He's not getting traded. Art Rooney said we're not cutting the guy. So what's he going to not show up and not get paid? No, he's going to show up. He's going to get paid. He's going to be a huge distraction to the Pittsburgh Steelers next season.
He'll be traded. He's going to get traded.
You've just made my day. What if nothing gets solved?
Nothing's and he's getting solved here.
Remember, Brett Favre had to show up as a Packer so that they could get rid of him.
Right.
I want to see Antonio. You know how Antonio Brown just doesn't walk in the door.
He doesn't just
show up. Antonio Brown shows up in helicopters and Bentleys on the first day. I want this to drag on all summer so that he's still a Steeler on July 24th.
I think at best case scenario, I mean, you're not getting a first, second, third, or fourth, or fifth. I mean, you're getting a sixth or a seventh round pick.
You don't think somebody would give up a fourth?
A day three
pick.
Somebody that does that, they got to pay the full boat and the full salary and all that.
They better be sure.
And the tax. Somebody else will think, well, release him, we'll get a new deal. So, I don't know. But then Antonio Brown's going to want a bigger deal. Antonio Brown's kind of affordable for the numbers he puts up. His salary's only, I know his cap hits like $20 million, but his actual salary's only like 12. What's this picture of Tebow with the monk haircut?
Tebow was an awesome athlete. Just wasn't NFL quarterbacks. Yeah, we agree. So they say, the experts, he did win a playoff game, please.
He did win a playoff game.
Cover zero.
The Steelers, as a matter of fact.
Stupidity. He had one of the best haircuts ever, and he owned it.
That was
did he really do that?
That was a hazing. He got the monk. Not nearly as good as the haircut I got today, which you can see if you look us up on Facebook Live right now.
Unnamed at 859 says, Kaepernick deserves nothing. He should be sentenced to watch Whitney Houston sing the national anthem. His interest in football was gone when he knelt for the first time. NFL should never have settled with this thug.
We can disagree.
Well, I disagree, but I do think when you start to look into this a little bit, maybe the NFL would have lost if it went to trial.
All it takes is one email. All it takes is Jerry, after a few whiskeys, hitting send on an email to he's not emailing Arthur Blank, who's Jerry's friend, Daniel Snyder, saying there ain't no way we're hiring this guy. Done. Okay, now collusion is proven. There we go. How much are you going to pay me to go away?
Do you only need two owners to prove collusion for the whole league?
That's the way I understood it.
I think you're right. Yeah, maybe even when Daniel Snyder, he probably texted Daniel Snyder, hey, I know your boy Alex Smith just crumbled with his leg there, but do not dare sign Colin Kaepernick.
Again, I don't keep mentioning the site, but I'm sorry, they're bringing up great points, and I think we brought it up sort of. Way too coincidental, Pro Football Talk says, that someone leaked Kaepernick's financial demands to the AAF a day before his collusion settlement was finalized and announced. It feels like one last middle finger from the league's anti-Kaepernick crowd.
It could be. May we pause for a Tiger update, Chris? First of all, what did I say Tiger would probably end up shooting around today?
One under.
And what is he now after a bogey and a par after his four birdie streak came to a crashing halt?
One under.
How many holes? 13? Something like that?
I think he's through 12.
All right. So I'm spot on with my analysis, and the rains are coming.
Well, I wouldn't say spot on, but...
Really? Yeah. You don't give me any credit?
No. I'll give you the W on this one for now. But like you guys, I'll probably go back and forth on that one.
Oh, that's cold.
I'm just like, just being the top, just be close on Sunday. That's
you know what, Pete? I shouldn't have thrown you in on that one. No, unlike Craig, I'm not going to go back and forth on that one.
I'm about Sunday. I'm not about Thursday or Friday.
The last thing I want and the last thing I deserve is to be earn the title of the waffler after being on the show. I don't really waffle. All right?
The waffler.
I'm pretty opinionated waffler. And I stick to my
about,
guns.
Craig, I've brought you around on paying college athletes. Fact, right?
Brought you around an Antonio Brown. I did.
What do you mean, bro? Oh, okay, today. Well, that's because I had new information. All right, what else you got?
Just stick to your guns, Craig.
I usually do 99% of the time.
For once.
I reject this new title here. not gonna take it.
Yeah, just be there on Sunday.
I agree with 813. How is Kaepernick a thug? He's not a thug.
Who called him a thug?
One of the texters.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's not a thug.
He's not a thug.
At all. All right. Bad choice in socks.
But I agree. I've amended. I've amended my statement. I don't think he'll play again.
Okay.
And if he does,
An hour and 17 minutes into the show, Dell Demps has been fired. We finally get into this. I thought this was going to be the lead story. This is the general manager of the Pelicans, who Magic Johnson said did not negotiate with him in good faith when Anthony Davis said that he no longer wanted to be a Pelican. And the Pelicans said, well, we're not just going to give him away for nothing. And the Lakers kept offering garbage and mediocre players. And finally they said, no, no deal. Now Anthony Davis is nursing these injuries, or he's playing, trying not to get hurt, which is causing injuries. Left last night at halftime after, quote unquote, banging his shoulder. But I'll bet you he'll play in the All-Star game this weekend. And all of a sudden, Dell Demps gets fired today.
Andrew Wojnarowski, who tweeted earlier, ownership was, as you said, were livid with Anthony Davis leaving last night. Gail Benson telling associates she wants an overhaul of Pelicans. It's funny to me. And a search for a GM to take command of Davis trade talks and the reshaping of team's future. Now, we always heard when Danny Ferry was with Cleveland, right? In the office.
Right.
We heard good things about him, right?
Yes.
So I'm wondering.
What about this other guy they mentioned? I know Danny Ferry. I don't know anything
David
about
Booth.
This other.
I don't know who David Booth is. I just looked up their I had their front office depth chart up, and I didn't see his name. But
now let me ask you this. Let's say a player leaves at halftime. Do you blame the GM for that? Or do you blame Alvin Gentry or the coaching staff the player?
What I want to know is, Miss Benson, is that how are you and your GM not on the same page when you knew these trade talks were going to happen? Which tells me, did Demps just say, I'm not going to listen to my owner? Or what if it was too vague? What if Gail said, hey, Dell, just use your best judgment? I mean, that leaves open a variety of speculation if that happened. But I got to believe, right? In this day and age, how can your owner and GM not be on the same page if with this type of deal, a possibility of it going down?
Well, I've got a little conspiracy theory here.
Right. Lay it on me.
Gail Benson.
Yeah,
she doesn't just own the Pelicans.
Yeah, she owns the Saints.
Right?
Haven't they been dealing with some stuff since the NFC Championship game?
Yeah.
Letters from Congress.
Yeah.
Getting Roger Goodell to replay.
Yeah.
I don't think she cared about the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, I don't know. That would be tough.
I agree with that line of thinking. My first question was, all right, is she a hands-on owner or is she just a widow that inherited control of
the
team?
Okay, but this was a huge story that was building for quite some time.
I agree.
And I don't know how she doesn't take time. This is her, one of the top players in the NBA. I'm not saying it's impossible. Well, but I'm
averaging 3 points a game this week.
I find that difficult to believe that she wasn't in some sort of contact. And if she wasn't, then shame on her. Then shame on her. But I can't believe in this day and age, at this kind of a deal, that she was not in contact with Dell Demps about the possibility of making this deal go down. Or she gave him vague and ambiguous instructions. Just, do what's best. I'll be over here dealing with the Saints. You do what's best for the team.
Do what's best, and then I'm going to fire you afterward.
And maybe
does this mean she thinks he should have taken that garbage deal from Magic Johnson?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I'll tell you.
Otherwise, why do you fire him?
I'll tell you what I thought.
Yeah.
You thought NBA players had power before this?
Yeah.
A GM just got traded or got fired because he wouldn't trade his star player who requested a trade.
Unless her boiling point over the top when he left the building last night, or she thinks he's faking it and wants him out, or I don't know. But how's that his fault? I don't know.
He hasn't been there very long, so he's not the guy that drafted Anthony Davis. But I mean,
I just don't know how Gail Benson and Dell Demps cannot be on the same page regarding Anthony Davis. That makes no sense, but there'll be more to the story coming out, I'm sure.
Or it's possible she confronted him after the game, says, did you know he left? I mean, well, how can this be? Maybe he blew her off a little bit. You know, here's a nice little lady up top. I'm in control. I mean, who knows? It could have been anything.
And Adrian Wojnarowski also says ownership's plan with a new GM will be continuing to push back on Anthony Davis's preferred trade destinations if they don't make sense for Pels, especially with a full year left in his contract.
Well, wasn't that Demps's philosophy all along?
And I'm absolutely convinced more and more, and I'm really leaning towards Rhea Chris Forsberg, that Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis will be playing for the Celtics next year, and a major deal will go down on July 1st.
They're playing for the same team, but you got the wrong city.
I don't have the wrong city. No. Nope.
Knicks.
If it's the Knicks, it's going to be. If the Knicks, you could see KD maybe. No, more and more, and I was talking to some people today that are close to Danny Ainge, and Danny doesn't get very cocky off, and he's pretty convinced that Kyrie is staying.
Oh, I am so over Danny Ainge.
I know.
Why are you so cocky? What have you done? Have you gotten to an NBA Finals as a GM? Yeah, when Kevin Garnett forced a trade out of Minnesota, and you had to go and get that ring chaser, Ray Allen. Didn't earn anything, Danny Ainge. Please. It's ridiculous. I got all these assets, but I'm not going to make a move. I'm going to sit on my hands. Deserve everything you got coming for you. You're not even making it to the Eastern Conference Finals this year.
You are so out of line because he made it. What was that he said? He traded. What? Nearly won two championships. Could have actually been in the third.
No. I don't count nearly one championship. I count one championship.
Got to game seven 2 years after.
I don't care about that. You should have covered Meta World Peace in the corner. Maybe you'd have two.
Did you have a parade for making it to game seven? No, fact.
Yeah, bring out the duck boats for that.
Yeah, blew a 12-point. They get enough duck boat parades.
Bring out the duck boats down by the harbor.
Yeah.
Ken Fang is going to join us from Awful Announcing. This should be fun. Hang tight. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Better baseball player.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepard.
Can't go wrong with Journey. Sheeman and Shepard on a journey of our own. 2 to 6 every weekday right here on 99.3 ESPN.
It's got a cavity listening to that. So sickly sweet. Just a small
town girl. You anti-Journey? Or are you just anti
my
sappy
pun,
little
that,
syrupy
that
little thing?
Syrupy little pun. Sure,
is anyone anti-Journey?
Oh, there's a lot of people are. Somebody's always anti-something.
You're right. You're right.
That's true. I always liked them when they were out. Didn't love them, but I liked them. And then now I've really grown to appreciate them all these years later. Just how awesome they are. Steve Perry's voice is just incredible. And the guy that replaced him is incredible. And by the way, Steve Perry with a new comeback solo album this fall. I don't know how it's done. I haven't heard any of his songs on the radio, so maybe it's not that good. But
Craig,
comeback.
Do you want to let everybody know what went on with Tiger during the break right there?
I'll let you handle it.
Well, he got a birdie. Did he get a birdie?
Making a run.
How about that? You want to waffle a little bit more?
No, I'm gonna stick my guns. He's gonna finish between -1 and -2, and he'll be like 6 or 7 strokes off the lead. Round one. That's just his game now. Coming up in a moment, we will talk with Ken Fang. By the way, I'm rooting for Tiger. I just like to predict things, and I'm usually right.
You just rather be right, so once again, it's flash over substance for you, you narcissistic radio host, you.
I resemble those comments.
With that hair, you can say whatever you want.
I had great hair today, man.
Give me carte blanche.
I got TV hair. Where's my makeup crew? I'm ready to go.
Oh, Christ. It's never going to happen here.
By the way, do we have our caller? Okay, yeah. Good. So Ken Fang is from Awful Announcing, and we are looking forward to this conversation. Ken, welcome to Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
Ken, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it? Nice to talk to you guys. And Pete, long time no talk.
My God, what's it been? 25? What's the last time I saw you? 30? 25
like
years
that.
Ago?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I love your Twitter handle because it says proud Taiwanese American and Fangs by you. And just explain, you have an awesome following, awesome, awful announcing, but you write about sports inside stuff. But how long does it take you every day? You put out a thing every day, a tweet about every single game that's on TV on every single network. How long does that take you to do that?
It takes me over an hour if it's done right. I try not to skimp on that, and I do it on my site. I also do it for Awful Announcing where I just put the national stuff. But for my site, I put all the local stuff in there as well. But, it takes me over an hour to do it if I do it right, and I don't like to skim. So if I'm really tired, I'm not going to do it. But if I'm up and ready to do it, it takes me like an hour, hour and a half.
Well, it's a good thing you do it because my friend Pete Shepard here, in the 2 years I've known him, watches more TV than any other human being on earth, whether it be sporting events, Game of Thrones. I mean, so he needs your guide. He needs to know what's on who's calling the games. He lives for you, man.
You know what? I appreciate that. At least as long as I know at least one person is reading, it's all worth it.
Every day. All right. So, we were prepared. We came on the show at 2 o'clock about, Dell Demps, that story just broke about 12:30 or so, whatever it was. But then we have the Kaepernick story. We have the Antonio Brown story. We have now another story just came out that the Raiders are cautiously optimistic they may stay in Oakland.
Nice.
Whatever that. But let's start with the Colin Kaepernick stuff because, you know, it's what's your best guess? How much money do you think he's getting out of this?
Good question. I mean, you know, the whole thing about Kaepernick, and it's pretty much been blackballed out of the league since he was cut by the 49ers. I mean, there's no estimate of what he could get at this point. So I wouldn't be surprised if he got a lot of money out of this. So it's just one of those situations where, you know, if the NFL could have hit it a little bit better what they were trying to do with it, but it's rather obvious that they just pretty much blackballed him out of the league and pretty much tried to make sure he's out. I mean, you can see all the people who have been signed, you know, basically people who have done domestic violence, they've been arrested and still been signed and given second chances where Kaepernick has not been given any chance whatsoever.
Well, we're thinking the number's going to be pretty high. Of course, the NFL settled with him today. We don't know what the number is, but we're figuring a couple of years lost salary, future salaries. Yeah. It's going to be, I think it's north of 50 easy. Mm. But it's anybody's guess because that'll be that'll be secret information for a while.
That's going to be that's of course that's going to be confidential. But I'm sure that Colin won't be suffering for money.
Yeah.
So do you think Florio at Pro Football Talk had a piece a little while ago that part of this agreement will be that he never asked to play in the NFL again? You buying that?
You know, Florio is a little bit loves to flaunt the fact that he's that outside insider, and very annoying. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's correct on this one. I hate to admit that, but I think he's correct.
All right, and you write about go ahead, Craig.
Well, I was just going to ask because about everything going on with announcing. I'm kind of curious with the Daytona 500 this weekend, and they have this elaborate broadcast. They do a great job. There are a couple of new female broadcasters joining it. How's it going to work? I mean, is Chris Myers still anchoring the thing, or do they have a new look this year? What's going on?
Well, it's just the fact that the two people they've added, one of them is Sarah Walsh, who unfortunately was really mistreated by ESPN. If you read some of the backstory that what happened to her, part of those massive layoffs that they had a couple of years ago. They're just going to have a couple rotating hosts for NASCAR Race Hub on the weekends, so they'll be part of that. Okay. Chris Myers will still be the main host. Shannon Spakey is still going to be some of the hosts doing some of the work inside of the NASCAR as well. But you're right. Fox does a great job on NASCAR. This is one of their signature events. They treat it well. They've treated the Daytona 500 with the respect that kind of deserves. So, Chris Myers will still be there. Although I will tell you an interesting story that I named him once the worst announcer on for NFL announcer. And I don't know what it was. Fox Sports PR was very happy to tell me he wanted to fight me. And I saw him over at the media day over at Super Bowl 46, I believe, the one in New York, 47, or I think 46.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, if Chris wants to fight me, I'll fight him. And I saw him, and I said, hey, Chris, it's Ken Fang. And he goes, and all of a sudden he big-timed me and ran away. So I don't know what the hell that was. But I said, look, if he wants to fight me, I'll fight him. I don't care.
Well, you're 6'8", 220, and so I can see why I'd be afraid of you.
You, like our
program director and producer over Chris, you have a baby face. You look like you're 12.
Exactly.
I mean, you wouldn't scare a 10-year-old. But no, I'm not saying that you know, not questioning your manner or anything like that. But
no,
you're a docile guy. You don't fight people.
No, but I was like, he wants to fight me. I'll come over there. I'm not going to back down from it. So I'm like, okay.
You know what?
And he was signing autographs, and he looked at me. He says, hey, Chris, it's Ken Fang. How are you? You want to fight me? And he just turned around. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Well, in all fairness, man. Super Bowl coverage and other media types, with all the media, a lot of people get on my nerves that week anyway. So you could be in a bad mood, man. I mean, you could throw down with other members of the media. Yeah. Hey,
I mean, who knows?
We carry the Red Sox here on our station because they do spring training. Now, last count, after taking the Tigers, Mario and Pemba, and I think Chris Berman, The Red Sox are going to have no less than 12 radio play-by-play announcers. How's this going
to
work?
Why didn't they sign you guys? I mean,
I was over there today. I was asked if I wanted to join the team. I told them no. I'm too busy with the show.
It's an interesting approach. I know that they, and of course, the flagship station was chastised for wanting to make it more of a talk show type of thing. I think people took it more of a debate type of situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now they're going to have as many as three people in the booth, which is going to be crowded for radio because you're going to try and shoehorn people in. You're going to have one day they're going to have Joe Castiglione, Sean McDonough, and Dave O'Brien. And all three are just going to try and talk. And I know they're going to try and respect each other, and they're all professionals. But three people in a booth on radio is just way too much.
Yeah.
And I understand they would want to do a different approach, but I'm just wondering what EEI is trying to accomplish here. They're trying to, and I know they want to go away from the conventional baseball play-by-play, and I know that they're not going to try and take phone calls during a game because that would be just ridiculous. But I'm just wondering what they're trying to prove here, and are they trying to reimagine or repurpose the baseball broadcast? Because you know, New England fans just, they don't like change. They want to be able to hear a broadcast and just a nuts and bolts broadcast. And Uncle Joe Castiglione has been there since, I believe, the 1940s or so.
35 years.
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish on this, but, you know, some of the names are fine. Sean McDonough is a professional. Mario Pemba has, of course, you know, he got fired for having a fight with his partner Rod Allen at Fox Point to Sports Detroit last year. Josh Lewin was a former Mets voice and also done the San Diego Chargers. So there's going to be a lot of people, and usually in baseball you like to have a regular partner so you can bounce off that guy. But, you know, having like 75 people rotating over a year, that's just going to be a little – I think it's going to be too much. And maybe Joe Castiglione's head may explode on there because he's working with so many people.
Yeah, it is. It'll be – I believe Sean – I mean, Dave's going to do the national – the games when the Red Sox are on national TV, and Sean's probably going to, I think Sean's going to do a big chunk of them, put it that way.
I agree.
And then maybe Lou Maloney's in there, and then that kind of a combination could work with Joe. But I don't see Sean and Dave O'Brien in the broadcast booth together very often. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But
no, I think it's going to be when Fox and ESPN are coming in, they'll probably have Dave. That's when Dave will be in the booth back with Joe again. But yeah. I cringe at the fact that Chris Berman is going to be part of that because Chris cannot call it. I've heard Chris call radio before, and he would do the playoffs, and I just cringe because it sounds like he's calling the game off a monitor, and he misses a lot of things because, like, the entire field, because he's distracted on other things. You're going to have to watch Nesson to see what he misses.
That's funny. Ken Feng is with us from Awful Announcing. All right, the other day when Bill Walton had a birthday cupcake lit with a candle, does he not understand how that works? For those that don't know, he took the cupcake frosting side up with the flame side up, put it in the back of his throat and ate it, put out the flame. Does he not know how this works? Was he already lit when he did this? What was the backstory on that?
You know, I just think that Bill just likes to do good television, you know? Mm-hmm. He wants to shock people, and I think he wanted to shock Dave Pass, his regular partner. I've talked to Dave about this, about some of the stuff that he's done on the air, and Bill has taken the approach that he doesn't talk to Dave before the games. He just save it for the air, mm-hmm. and if he wants to shock him, he will do so. Dave has gotten to the point where he says nothing shocks him anymore, but that you could see that truly did shock him. So the fact is Bill Walton stoned before he goes on the games? It wouldn't surprise me. But he does understand that it's all about entertainment and entertaining the fans. And if he wants to say something that is or do something that is totally off the wall and totally out of left field, he will do it. And you know what? I think we as Americans are better for it.
All right, final question, because you do a lot of entertainment stuff. But this is a story you tweeted out, I think it was yesterday. And I'm looking at college football, which we talk a lot about down here. And I'm looking at this kid, Blake Carringer. And his college lists include Alabama, Florida, and then Amherst College. And for those of you, Amherst College is a very small academic type, little mini Harvard out in western Massachusetts, almost in New York, for God's sakes. But it turns out that Blake Carringer, he wormed his way into a three-star ranking, but he isn't. What happened here?
Hey, you know what? More power to him for faking this whole thing. I mean, it just goes that some people don't check these things, and they should. He just basically catfished his way into a three-star rating. But people should realize if you have two SEC schools there and a school from a small New England college, something it, 2 and 2 is not going to add up to 4. So in this case, 2 and 2 added up to negative 45. But yeah. You know what? More power to the kid for, you know, faking this rating and getting it, getting coverage on it. It makes you laugh for a while, but some people don't check these things. And I think he just wanted to prove a point, and he did that.
6'6", 315-pound offensive tackle from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I know. It's great. But, you know, people want to believe it's too good to be true. And what did they say? If it sounds too good to be true, it is. And, look, more power to the kid for doing it.
Well, Ken, love to have you on again. Yeah. Next time you're on, I understand you're a Browns fan. We got to get into Jimmy Haslam and Kareem Hunt and Baker Mayfield.
Don't get me started.
We'll do that next time. Thank you for coming on, Ken. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Ken. Great to catch
up
with you.
That is Ken Fink from Awful Announcing here on Sheeman and Shepherd.
They have their fingers on the pulse of the sports world. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Yeah, exactly.
On 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Walking on the Sun?
Yes.
Love it.
So you've heard of this one.
Oh, God, I love this song.
This is in the era where you generally have a blackout toward other musical acts.
No. This is mid-90s.
Yeah, it is. Good tune. Like it.
I forget who sings it. I have this. I have this whole CD.
I have this CD at home also. I can't think of it. Chris, who's the title of the band? It's
Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth.
Thank you. Yes.
Who no longer exists, right? They dissolved?
What happened?
I don't know. They haven't done anything new since the mid-90s.
I don't remember any other song they sang except that one.
There were two good songs on that CD.
Really?
Walking on the Sun and...
Is it All Star?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a real good one.
Oh, yeah. Hey, now you're an all-star?
Yes.
I know that one.
Nailed it.
Dang.
Bingo.
Pete Shepard, take the rest of the day off.
Wow. Okay. See ya.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Also, check us out on Facebook Live. I want to thank Ken Fang for being on the show from Awful Announcer.
Good guy, huh?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have him on again. I like him.
You see his stuff. He writes about everything, entertainment, but he's got his nose into everything. He knows a lot of people. His stories are hysterical.
Yeah.
Ian Rappaport. The NFL sent a memo to GMs and coaches informing them that Louisiana Tech defensive end Jalen Ferguson, MSU defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons, Colorado State University wide receiver Preston Williams will be permitted to travel to Indy to undergo the same comprehensive medical evaluations given to invited prospects at the NFL scouting combine.
Is that the same as...
Oh, is this a great mood the NFL's in today? Yes, well, Colin Kaepernick give you, you know, 50, 80, 60, 70, 80 million, and let's let everybody go to the combine.
And this is the kid that got in a fight his senior year of high school.
Yes.
It was the only act of violence he ever had. It wasn't beating up a girl or anything like that, and they said he couldn't come to the combine.
Now they changed their mind.
Well, the verbiage that you gave me there, allowed to participate in medical evaluations, does that mean he can do drills?
I see, this to me screams, quote-unquote, psych test. Where is your mind at?
Yeah.
And then maybe after that, if he passes those or the Wunderlich test, then maybe he gets to...
Yeah. Reuben Foster passed his.
Yeah?
That's a miracle.
Well, before he went off on the nurse at the hospital.
Good point.
Who could have predicted his NFL career?
Yeah.
Nobody. Unbelievable.
On the lighter side, I do have a story to share with you coming off of Valentine's Day.
VD?
VD. Happy VD, everybody. Valentine's Day.
Yep.
Stephen Bosner is a 27-year-old from Washington. He decided to pretend that his date stood him up at Outback Steakhouse. So he showed up, asked for a party of two.
It's genius.
Sat down.
Oh, my gosh.
Acted more and more sad as nobody showed up, obviously, and strangers bought his meal.
Wait a second. Awesome. That's like our guy from Key West yesterday.
Yes.
Tweeting out, it's a very similar type of, very ingenious type of way to get free drinks, is to fake an engagement with both parties being there and then having the rest of the restaurant buy you drinks all night.
That's awesome.
That is fantastic.
He did it on a dare from his sister, and she said if nobody picked up the tab, she would. So he figured, hey, free steak anyway.
What if he cried? Think he cried at the table?
He started moping around. He showed up all dressed up. He had a poorly wrapped gift with him. Like, you know, guys can't wrap gifts very good. So he had that
great wrapper.
Yeah. Are you?
I do the wrapping in our household.
Really?
Do you really?
Yeah.
Next Christmas, can I pay you to do mine?
Yes.
I'm not very good at it.
I enjoy it. It's almost therapeutic.
You enjoy it?
You get a good crease in wrapping paper.
You ever get a good paper cut?
Oh, man.
Oh, I just hate the
Scotch. No, you don't deal with the edges.
Scotch tape and
my sides are a little lumpy.
I hurt myself.
Well, it's because your creases aren't.
Yeah.
They're not tight enough.
I take my fingers to the package. I do all sorts of stupid things. I lose a Scotch. And then Scotch tape runs out. Can't find the extra roll.
Well, let me take that back. I enjoy wrapping boxes.
Square things.
Square things. Rectangular things. Right.
All toys don't come in square
boxes. No, they don't. So some things I don't enjoy wrapping because I don't like doing a bad wrap job.
Now, let me ask you another question. Does Santa Claus wrap his gifts in your house or does Santa Claus leave them unwrapped under the tree?
No, this year he did not wrap the gifts.
Really?
When I was a kid growing up, Santa Claus did not leave wrapped presents.
Santa always wrapped them at my house.
Nope, never wrapped them at my house.
I find it very lazy of Santa. It must be late in the night when he gets to your house. Just drop them
off. We always said that for a long time. It was always one side of the room was my sister Andrea and the other side was me. Mm-hmm.
We also leave Santa a glass of small batch bourbon.
But I do one time. I do remember one time where Santa left my sister a typewriter that I thought I should have. So I kind of moved it in the middle. And then,
naughty.
For some reason,
get cold.
I got scolded by my parents. Said,
Yeah, Santa. About Santa
I think Santa. And,
joint gifts.
I saw Easter candy at Walmart yesterday.
Oh, come on. I'm not surprised.
I mean, the Valentine's
candy. It's not that far off, guys.
The Valentine's candy wasn't
even gone.
What is it,
April this year?
It's late April. It's later this year.
Yeah, because it's been early the last few years. Everything's
later this year.
April 21.
March Madness is late.
That's
Masters is late.
March Madness selection show is on St. Patrick's Day. People, wait till you see the stupid polls that come out. I mean, the brackets that come out that night from people filling out their office pool brackets when they're bleep faced.
We got to figure out our own.
The pool, the selection show is at 6:15 on St. Patrick's Day night. Are you kidding me?
If I'm not mistaken, this is so late that the Elite Eight will actually take place in April, let alone the Final Four.
So it's April Madness.
So it's April aberration. It's not March Madness anymore. Half of the deal's taking place in April.
April agitation.
Agitation?
I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there. I said
aberration.
Bird Magic, 1979, Indiana State against Michigan State was on my birthday. Granted, the word 64. March 26, 1979.
That's when it was a field of 32.
That was the day I turned 12
years
old.
Was that 48?
12 years old. And that was the,
I don't remember.
But that was March 26th. It was never past April 3rd, ever.
And by the way, the year before, it was not on live TV, was it? I think it was tape delayed late at night.
I think you're right.
I think Magic Bird was the first time the championship was live.
The Celtics-Houston championship in 81, game one, was on tape delay on CBS.
After the evening news?
After the evening news. It was on, well, it was on at 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. All right, coming up.
Yeah, but yet back in your day, everything was better, huh?
Nobody said that.
Oh, I hear it from your generation all the time. Back in my day, if I had a nickel every time I heard back in my day, I'd have tens of dollars.
I think it's more of common sense stuff and less politically correct stuff that's not over the top. I'm not talking about racial stuff. I'm talking about common sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, like look both ways, crossing the street, that type of thing.
All right,
Back in my day.
Gosh. Back in my day, we used to take radio breaks on time. We've got the latest headlines.
We're on time.
We will update our
10 seconds
polls.
Yes.
We will have Phil Castagnetti on, and we'll talk about some sports memorabilia. And it's 4 o'clock on a Friday. Coming up within the hour, our AAF Pigskin Picks. It's a huge success when we debuted it last week.
Love it.
We're doing it again. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.